It's been surreal, or simply straight out crazy. This week, as the number of deaths in our nation continues to grow at a staggering rate, the Trump administration, the president, announced that he was phasing out the coronavirus response team, which meant silencing the nation's foremost epidemiologists. His response to the deepening crisis was urging states to cancel life-saving restrictions and mandating meatpacking plants, terrifying hot spots across the country for outbreaks, to reopen. Worker lives be damned. Characteristically, it was mere hours later that the president reversed course and credited popular demand as if he were extending an iffy television series that had been slated for cancellation. Perhaps, in his mind, that's exactly what he was doing. Clearly, his intention had already shifted to a new Reopen America panel with no health experts on it. The elected leader of our nation wanted daily meetings with people advising him on either the best way forward for the country or the best messaging forward for the reelection campaign, depending who you ask. And every step of the way, prominent political, religious right leaders cheer the lies and misdirection, while leading the way in challenging any and all governmental authority to restrict unsafe practices in houses of worship as the pandemic rages on. While giving cover to the propaganda that is washing over the nation like a flood of untreated sewage. We prepared this week's State of Belief as we have the previous four programs, with your host sheltered at home in pandemic-ravaged Louisiana and your producer working from Germany, a country that had the same advance warning of the impending health crisis as did the U.S. Germany and America detected their first cases of COVID-19 just 1 week apart in January, and in fact, America had a head start on dealing with it. Today, the deaths per million rate here is already almost three times as high as it is in Germany. The Germans are cautiously lifting some restrictions while continuing to mandate social distancing and masks in stores and public transport. This is in direct response to the remarkable flattening of the infection curve there in the past few weeks. Meanwhile, the spread of the coronavirus stateside continues unabated. And yet we are about to embark on an incredible experience in Darwinism. And the biggest change seems to be making the data less available to the public. No evidence has been presented to justify this reversal of policy. No independent medical or scientific experts are endorsing it. So, what's going on? Is it possible that even in this crisis, with far more American lives already lost than in the entire Vietnam War, spin and distraction will win the day over science and human suffering? That conditioned to question climate science and evolution and any other inconvenient truth, trained by mendacious theocratic leaders to dismiss empirical evidence but swallow any self-serving claim or accusation, and ordered for years by the president of a democratic nation to ignore objective journalists and the very media that ensured his election, with wall-to-wall coverage of his every word and action, and instead believe only him. Is it really possible that even in an age of endless sources of information, with data and insights and education and wisdom readily at hand, we are, in the end, a nation full of people more willing to believe what we want to believe than what we see with our own eyes? Sorrowfully, I struggle for any better explanation. I shudder at what increasingly appears to be the triumph once more of propaganda over lived reality, and of a big lie over the ordinarily skeptical nature of our fellow Americans. This week, my dear friend Rachel Maddow made an observation on her MSNBC program that I've been unable to get out of my mind. For months now, this administration has promoted endlessly the pandemic proliferation predictions of the respected University of Washington Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation. Weeks ago, the Institute forecast a corona death toll of 60,000 Americans by August 2020. But as the number of lives lost soared toward 70,000 at the start of May instead, the forecast was drastically revised. Now the Institute's models foresee double that number, 134,000 deaths, because the earlier number was based on the assumptions that social distancing and other protective practices would remain in place. With the headlong rush to reopening everything at all costs, the Institute sounded its deadly warning. And how did the administration respond? By reassessing its plans? By altering its recommendations? By recognizing, as this president and many others have said for so long, that the first responsibility of the White House is protecting American lives? No, none of the above. Instead, the Centers for Disease Control quietly scrubbed the IHME from the place of prominence its predictions had previously held on the CDC website. Mission accomplished. Don't confuse me with facts, as the wry old saying goes. And the same thing played out this week in the White House. Donald Trump was signing a proclamation declaring National Nurses Day, honoring on paper the thousands of professionals being dishonored in real life with life-threatening job conditions, unbearable psychological stress, and shocking shortages of the most basic supplies and equipment. Sophia Thomas was in attendance. She's the president of the American Association of Nurse Practitioners, and in that role, she dared to make a mild reference to those shortages in front of the president. A president who then proceeded to rant and rave that he had heard otherwise, that he had ensured ample supplies, and that the cupboards had been bare, in his words, only due to the previous administration. Let's just get on with the money, is the message of the White House. Let's get those terribly sick people in the meat factories back on the job or take their salaries away from them. I spent a good part of a morning this week seeking to help wise religious leaders in Iowa prepare to counter the vice president's trip to their state on a mission to encourage them to open their houses of worship and get things back to normal. The vice president's trip will be history by the time you hear me speak these words. But I hope that courageous people who really do care for the country reject the administration's efforts to turn all religions in the nation into the right-wing religionists who worship the president. Friends, I'm not able to offer encouraging words in the face of the moment we're in. I don't have a solution to offer, easy or otherwise. The best I can do today, I think, is to urge each of us to continue to look rationally and realistically at the situation we find ourselves in, and to maintain the kind of contact with friends and loved ones that prudent restrictions allow and that a titanic moment demands. To resist the comfort of complacency and the coping mechanism of tuning it all out in the hope that things will get better on their own. And to connect with support systems and communities, be they spiritual, social, or psychological, more than you think you need. Because you are needed by others as well. Much, much more than you think you are. Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you've made a donation to State of Belief Radio this week, let me say a very sincere thank you. Your generous support of this program is vital to keeping us on the air. If you think there's value in what you've heard here and you think it's important that others hear it as well, please make your contribution today. Find more information at stateofbelief.com. That's stateofbelief.com. And do you know someone who you think might benefit from hearing what you're hearing? Please commit to sharing State of Belief with just one person this week. With so many of us struggling with isolation, it can be very helpful to hear encouraging words and civil conversations around the issues we all care about the most. Stay up to date by subscribing to the free weekly State of Belief podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform. And take a moment to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Be a part of the conversation. Our producer is Ray Kirstein. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. And be sure to join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, you all take care of each other. I'm Welton Gaddy. That's State of Belief.
I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.